Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to a fantastic forecast, episode 355. I'm Lord Gaylord Hugebottom, the proprietor of the largest shirt manufacturer in Great Britain. When it comes to high-quality tops, think of me, Hugebottom. For this particular episode of the podcast, I am your guest host, as the regular chap who hosts this program is currently busy with other endeavors. Today, I will be discussing Fantastic Four 355 from August 1991. Rage, written with thunderous exasperation by Danny Fingeroff and penciled with maddening mania by Al Milgram. The issue begins with a thuggish evildoer by the name of The Wrecker, wielding a crowbar and a menacing look on his face as he approaches someone in a not-too-dark alley. He says, "Tell me again, Weasel. I want to be sure I got it all." He's asking a question of this older street person who had been serving time in the drunk tank the night before. He heard the policeman talking about another prisoner who was being taken to an abandoned building at 7133 Yancey Street, to an armored cell in a basement there. After telling the Wrecker this, he asks for payment, and the payment the Wrecker gives him is to push him over into the trash cans and to beat the shit out of him with a crowbar. Obviously, this Wrecker fellow is not the kind of chap you'd want to do business with. Less than a mile away, on the previously aforementioned Yancey Street, Ben Grimm the Thing, member of the Fantastic Four, is taking a stroll down the street, also sporting a menacing look on his face, thus scaring some of the other passerbys. Mr. Grimm is thinking about how he grew up on Yancey Street, but when some unfriendly kid throws a brick at him, he thinks that he doesn't belong on Yancey Street anymore. He finds the old building he used to live in, conveniently located at 7135 Yancey Street, and looks up at the once dirty and broken down building, which has recently received a renovation from the New York City Department of Renovated Housing for Low-Income People. He decides to head inside his old building and have a look around. Just then, a SWAT team van pulls up at the building next door, and a bunch of heavily armored policemen exit the back with their prisoner, a former teammate of the Ass Wrecker from the start of the issue by the name of Dr. Elliot Franklin, a.k.a. Thunderballs. The authorities are leading Mr. Franklin into the building at 7133 Yancey Street, and he's a little concerned about his ex-man friend, the Wrecker, and is worried that he will kill him. I guess they had a bad breakup. Oh, my. Next door, the old buildings bring back some memories for Mr. Grimm, such as the time he saw his brother Dan making out in the hall with some girl. He has a brother? I did not know that. But then again, this is the first issue of the Fantastic Four I've ever read, and really, honestly, it is. I guess his brother Dan has made some many, many appearances in this book over the years, right? Mr. Ben Grimm remembers the time his father caught him writing graffiti on the wall, and rightfully slapped that little shit upside his little boy noggin. Mr. Grimm arrives at his old apartment and thinks about knocking on the door, but the lady inside hears someone outside, and thinking it's someone named Miguel, she opens the door, but instead of finding Miguel, she finds herself face to face with a rock monster, whom she does not recognize. For some reason, as a superhero and a famous member of the Fantastic Four, you would think she would know who he is, but she does not. She screams at him to get back, and the woman's son yells out the door, "Leave my mother alone!" Mr. Grimm apologizes, but the oldest son, a young man with a mustache and a baseball bat, recognizes the Thing and still tells him to get away and leave his mother alone. He says, "You gave up on Yancey Street years ago. Go back uptown to your high-class friends." Mr. Grimm says he just wanted to see the old apartment that he grew up in, but maybe that was not such a good idea, and he turns and leaves. But the youngest child yells back that he doesn't want the thing to leave and begs his older brother to let him stay. So the mother agrees and Ben Grimm enters his old apartment. He remembers his mother and how she used to make the best corned beef and cabbage. Corned beef and cabbage. Boy, he must have been really poor. That is totally the food of the lower classes. You would never catch me, Lord Gaylord Hugebottom, eating anything of that sort. I prefer a nice thick piece of filet mignon, and perhaps a tossed salad. The younger son calls Mr. Grimm the hero, his hero, and asks his mom if he can stay for lunch. Mr. Grimm is touched. The Garcias, they have no money. The father, who isn't there right now, has no job. Yet they are still willing to share with a total stranger. Meanwhile, out on the street, a group of boys are playing what appears to be a rousing game of cricket with what appears to be a broomstick in lieu of an actual bat. A manhole cover flies open and out comes Mr. Wrecker, with his outfit surprisingly clean of any fecal matter. He must have been wading through one of those clean sewer systems. The nearby rooftops are lined with police officers who order Mr. Wrecker to stop, which of course he does not comply. So the police officers open fire, but the bullets just bounce off the bad guy, who is lost in thought about his old crew, the wrecking crew. Thunderballs, bulldozer, and pile driver. I used to hit the sex clubs every weekend with a couple of friends named Bulldozer and Pile Driver. So we learn what happened between Mr. Wrecker and Mr. Thunderballs. They had a falling out when Thunderballs tried to steal the Wrecker's powers and kill him. Oh, what a cad. And so, as one might imagine, Mr. Wrecker, he wants revenge. He finds the building at 7133 Yancey Street where they're holding Thunderballs. And Mr. Wrecker tosses a bunch of policemen aside, saying, "Now get out of my face!" But instead of heading inside, he just whacks the bottom of the building with his crowbar, knocking the entire building down. In the collapse, this causes damage to the building next door. A wall collapses in the room where Mr. Grimm and the Garcia family are enjoying a nice meal. Well, maybe not a nice meal, but they're eating a meal. Mr. Grimm grabs the collapsing wall to protect the Garcia family from being crushed, even though for the life of me, I can't figure out why they're worth saving. Oh, but he doesn't save the entire Garcia family. Oh, they hear a cry from the youngest son, who is trapped under some debris, and Mr. Grimm has to dig him out. After that, he heads outside and starts helping other people in the building, and he hears someone on the street say that the building was wrecked by the Wrecker. Next door, the aforementioned Wrecker is trying to get down on the steel-encased basement in the building he just destroyed. Unfortunately for him, the crowbar comes in quite handy. He pries open a hole and drops down into a dark cell where his old pal Thunderballs is waiting. Thunderballs wastes no time in attacking Mr. Wrecker, hitting him with a metal bed frame and holding a wire from the electrical outlet to the metal and delivering a powerful electric shock to the Wrecker. Wrecker swings his crowbar, knocking Thunderballs and his bed frame aside. He traps Thunderballs up against the wall and is about to finish him off when something comes up behind Mr. Wrecker and knocks him down. Why, it's Mr. Grimm, of course, to the rescue. He doesn't care about the fate of Mr. Thunderballs. He's just a tad bit out of sorts over the collapsed building and the danger to innocent civilians such as the Garcia family. Mr. Wrecker jumps up out of the room and out back to the street, dragging Thunderballs with him. The thing follows and picks up a chunk of wall and tosses it at the Wrecker, knocking the crowbar out of his purple-gloved hand. So they proceed to exchange fisticuffs, smacking the holy hell out of each other, putting the lives of more civilians in danger, I presume. But we learn the cops have evacuated the area so the two fighters can proceed to destroy buildings with reckless abandon. They continue to battle for a while until Mr. Grimm gets the wrecker on his knees, forcing him to drop his crowbar and wallops him across the face, leaving him unconscious, where he can safely be arrested by agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. An ambulance comes to take young Javier Garcia, the young boy, to the hospital, but as he leaves, he passes by Mr. Grimm and thanks him for saving Yancey Street and the city. But the kid keeps talking and talking and talking, telling Mr. Grimm he's not a monster, he's a hero. And then, he dies! Yes, the little kid dies! And at the end of his life, the EMT pays no mind at all. They just let him chat away with Ben Grimm and die. I have the feeling that the Garcia family will be filing quite a massive lawsuit after this debacle. So Mr. Ben Grimm heads off, sad about the death of the young boy, but feeling good about being a superhero. He passes a chunk of fallen wall and finds some graffiti he wrote years ago that says, Yancey Street Gang, forever. And the word forever has the letter four, like the Fantastic Four symbol instead of the letters four, F-O-R. It is quite ridiculous, I must admit. So he takes the chunk of wall as a souvenir and heads off down the street. And that, thankfully, is the end of the issue. So thank you for listening to this podcast. Once again, I am Lord Gaylord Hugebottom. You can find me on my other podcast, a program devoted to the care and maintenance of pet gerbils called Gerbils and Hugebottom. You can download other episodes of the Fantastic Forecast at iTunes, or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. You can join the Facebook page at Podcast FF. Not that I would do that. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email Dave Elliott at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, good people. This podcast has concluded. Baby's Babylon, they're looking for excuses. Game for the buzzer who kicks it to the moose is lame as a brain, could be golly gee. If you see a shrink, he'll charge you a fee. If you see me, you see the fee is nothing. We will people, patience, all backs, no fronting. What is a party if it doesn't really rock? What is a poet, all balls, no cock? What is a war if it doesn't have a general? What's Channel 9 if it doesn't have Arsenio? What is life if you don't have fun? What is a what if you ain't got a gun? What's Ali without Shaheed Muhammad? Nothing. Kapelka makes you vomit. What is a quest if the players ain't willing? What is a pence if you don't have a shilling?